I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we've all heard about prisoners being subjected to sexual abuse, but what about when it's the guards committing the abuse? We'll hear from the Justice Department's own Inspector General on his findings about the extent of the problem and what the government is doing to stop it. That conversation in a few minutes. But first, we want to talk more about ACORN. We wanted to know more about the history of community groups like ACORN. How did they start? What do they do? And why is ACORN such a lightning rod? So we called Todd Shaw. He's an assistant professor at the University of South Carolina, and he studies social movements and grassroots activism. He's with us from his office. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you, Michelle.
How did ACORN get its start? I understand it was actually an Arkansas-based group.
Yes. Early in the 1970s, a guy by the name of Wade Rathke, who was a lieutenant of George Wiley, who had founded the National Welfare Rights Union, began this organization. And the whole purpose of ACORN was to broaden the movement principally around the ideas of a guy by the name of Saul Alinsky, this idea of building indigenous power among sort of powerless people from Alinsky's standpoint and providing a means for those who are the, as was said in the language, the victims of poverty could lead the movement.
Now, ACORN isn't the only group like it, but as I understand it, right?
No, it's not. There are a number of ACORN spinoffs and a lot of organizations in local communities that are part of this sort of anti-poverty movement. As I mentioned, the National Welfare Rights Union, National Welfare Rights Organization, or it stemmed out of the National Welfare Rights Organization, is certainly one. Those who organize around homelessness and housing, that's certainly a front, along with community development. So there's sort of a broad repertoire of groups that kind of comprise American community and grassroots organizing.
And when you say organizing, what does that mean? And if their job is to kind of organize politically, why do they get federal funding to do that?
Well, community organizers see it as their principal job is to empower leaders at the local level to raise their voices, to at times when necessary, protest, to bring about unheard grievances. To be quite honest, Michelle, this is a sort of a long history of community support for community organizing from the federal government. If we talk about, go back to Lyndon Johnson's Great Society programs and the Community Action Program with the War on Poverty, those were federal funds that were targeted toward local communities, bringing low-income neighborhoods and public officials together to argue what should be done to address poverty in their various areas.
In the same way, like, for example, the Justice Department has kind of conciliation groups or mediators who go out into communities that are experiencing racial tension. Is it the same kind of idea?
In some broad respect, but it takes on this attitude that, and it sort of stems, again, out of the Great Society view that was pushed along by the civil rights and community organizing view that if you can target local dollars and use that old American principle of local democracy, there's great good that might be achieved. So it's along the same principle, but again, it's sort of rooted in this very American idea of a local democracy.
Why? How come we only ever hear about ACORN since there are other groups like it? And why is this particular group such a lightning rod for conservatives?
Well, ACORN's a lightning rod in part because ACORN has been so extensive and has had one of the longest histories. And ACORN to date may be one of the larger of all of these organizations that we're sort of talking about. But in some ways, it's a lightning rod because of its effectiveness or the ways in which it continues to push. It's involved in electoral campaigns and housing and lending and living wage campaigns. So there's a lot of things ACORN's taken on. And in some ways, in this era where there's criticism of connections between government dollars and organizing on the left, there's sort of no coincidence that ACORN would be a lightning rod.
But it's also true that congressional committees have looked into sort of some of the mega churches, for example, who are preaching prosperity gospel, and they have both considered to be politically conservative views as well as politically liberal groups. I do think it's fair to say that oversight committees have also looked into their practices. But just to the question of why? Can I just ask your take on why employees at these offices, even granted that there are other employees in other offices who did not validate this conduct, would think it was okay to try to assist, or at least to appear to be assisting persons in operating a house of prostitution, in assisting them in filling out the paperwork and things of that sort. Even if, as Bertha Lewis said in our conversation with her, they didn't get very far, there was no actual paperwork generated. Why would they feel that that was okay?
Well, Michelle, I think it goes back to folk, irrespective of income or color, can do bad things and make bad judgments. And so I would see that these were employees who made bad judgments and had a problematic view when it came to making assistance by any means necessary. But I also want to say is I think this sort of focus on ACORN is part of this larger debate we've had about the underclass and the behavior of the underclass. And I think it's a similar sort of strain of arguing how should the poor behave. And again, I'm not sanctioning this type of activity. But again, I think we focus on this sort of what happens among the poor because of this presumption about who is the deserving and undeserving poor. And I think it plays into that larger narrative.
That was Todd Shaw. He's an assistant professor in political science and African-American studies at the University of South Carolina. As we said, he studies grassroots activism and social movements, and he was kind enough to join us from his office. Professor Shaw, thank you.
Thank you very much.